So we're moving on to agenda paper 4A. And I'm handing over to Vincent.
Yes. So thank you. So we will discuss agenda paper 4A. So this paper analyzes comments received on the tentative agenda decision published in September 2018 or an entity accounts for the partial disposal of an investment in a subsidiary in its separate financial statements. The committee received six comment letters. All respondents agreed with the committee's conclusion. Nonetheless, two respondents questioned the committee's rationale for its conclusion on question B. Some respondents also provided feedback on other aspects of the tentative agenda decision. Respondents' comments, together with our technical analysis and recommendations, are discussed in paragraphs 7 to 20 of the paper. On the basis of our analysis, we recommend finalizing the agenda decision subject to the change noted in paragraph 10 of the agenda paper and some editorial changes. In paragraph 19 of the paper, we initially recommended a change to the wording of the agenda decision in question A to change the sentence when it first applies IFRS 9 to at initial application of IFRS 9. However, we have since received feedback suggesting that the original wording in the tentative agenda decision would be more easily understood. Accordingly, we recommend that the committee retain the original wording in the tentative agenda decision in this respect. So in the second paragraph on page 8 of the agenda paper, we recommend retaining the sentence, the entity would make this presentation election when it first applies IFRS 9 to the retained interest. I will now ask whether you agree with our recommendation to finalize the agenda decision set out in Appendix A.
Okay. Who wants to speak first, or are we happy? Young Sue?
Yes. For this one, I should say I agree with the step analysis, but I am not quite support of it. What I'm trying to say is that if we strictly follow the standard, I believe that we cannot but come up with the staff analysis conclusion. In that sense, I agree. However, I should say that I do not support it because of two reasons. I think I already said that in the September meeting, but I want to repeat it. I'm going to make it a little bit brief. But the first reason why I'm not supportive of this agenda decision is because we didn't think about the objective of separate financial statement. We just assumed that the objective of the separate financial statement is the same as that of the consolidated financial statement. But I believe that the financial statement might have different objective. For example, the IAS 27, the separate financial statements standard, is allowing the application of IFRS 9 to all investments, regardless of whether the investees are associate, joint ventures, or the subsidiaries or anything else. So that means that the separate financial statement might have a different characteristic. But in this agenda decision or in the staff paper, we didn't think about that. That is the first reason. And the second reason I want to say is that if we jointly, we haven't talked about it yet, but if we jointly consider agenda decision 4A and 4B, we're going to come up with a different, different accounting methods for two very similar, alike transactions, step up and step down transactions. So for that, I do not supportive of the agenda decision. And if I summarize it, I should say that we were successful in reading the current standard, but I don't think we were able to explain why the accounting we propose is a proper accounting. So that's what I want to say.
Okay, does anybody else have any comments on 4A? No? Andrew?
Just one small comment. If the wording is changed back on the last paragraph on question A. I wonder if some words could be included within the brackets at the end where we say, i.e. at the date of losing control of the investee, then comma, which is the date of initial recognition for the purposes of IFRS 9, and that then just links the two together, deals with the point in the comment letter, but also deals with the point the staff raised at the beginning.
Okay. Michael?
Just one observation, and apologies if you discussed this in September when I wasn't here, but just looking at the ordering of the wording, because ISA, it says you first look at the requirements of IFRS and dealing with similar issues, and then you look at the definition of the conceptual framework. I wonder if you want to start off saying it meets definition of income, and then later on say we noted it's also consistent with requirements dealing with similar related standards. That doesn't seem to quite tie up with the hierarchy in IS 8. I agree with the answer, obviously.
Yeah. I think just to say that what was the changes we suggested around question B, Michael, I suppose, was in response to comments made by us in comment letters, but those responses, I suppose, made us look a bit closer, I suppose, and just to explain the reason for the changes actually because of the requirements in paragraph 88 of IS1, and sorry, I'm just trying to open it so that I quote exactly the words. So the requirements in IS1 in paragraph 88 says an entity shall recognise all items of income and expense, in profit or loss, unless, an IFRS requires or permits otherwise. That we thought that actually the comment letters helped us identify and think that means that we think actually that paragraph, IS1 gets you there, so it's not that you're going down the hierarchy to the framework and missing out. So that's why we hoped actually that, as I say, helped by the comments, that this suggested change to the agenda decision actually made it clearer, the rationale for the conclusion.
Okay, fine, thank you.
Bob?
Yeah, hopefully I don't cut out this time. Generally supportive of the staff's analysis, but with the
exception of cutting out.
Closing. I'm struggling with the changes the staff is making at the end of the end of 4A, changing from initial application of IFRS 9 to initial recognition of the retained interest. I thought the wording originally was there as a question I had asked at the last meeting. Because I think people will apologize to this in other situations. So my example was an entity has a consolidated subsidiary, it's applying IFRS 9 fair value. It now loses control and it's renewed interest, can it apply fair value to OCI? And it had the entire entity. Is the new interest a new interest, and therefore, yes, you can apply IFRS 9, or no, it's you cannot apply IFRS 9 because you were previously applying IFRS 9 to So I don't think the change in the wording is just a better way of saying it. It actually is a very different basis for this analysis.
So does that mean, Bob, that you would agree with keeping the old words when it first applies IFRS 9?
If the conclusion to the fact pattern that I suggested is that if you're not going to pay for it to OCI, then yes, I think we need to keep the original word.
Okay, all right. So with that, Reinhardt, did you want to come in?
Just quickly, I agree with the staff agenda decision, and I agree with the proposed changes. I would also support the staff in the changes that were made to the end of that last sentence at question B. So I would support going forward with it as the staff proposed.
In the attachment?
That's correct, yeah.
Bertrand?
Yeah, it was just a minor wording comment. At the end of page 7, the first sentence goes, paragraph 9 of IAS 27 requires an entity to apply all applicable IFRS standards in its separate financial statements, except, and after that I would have written, except the accounting for investments in subsidiaries, associates and joint ventures, which is determined applying IAS 27 paragraph 10, or paragraph 10 of IAS 27. I got difficulties initially in really understanding the except when accounting for investments, because it's what IAS 27 is about, is okay. To account for investments in subsidiaries, associates.
Okay, I think that might be.
So I think it would better reflect what is intended in this sentence, but it's a minor editorial comment.
Okay, I think that would help clarify. All right, so with that, I'm going to ask the committee, I'm not sure what to do on question A, but...
Could you tell us why would be exactly the difference between the two wordings at the end of question A?
Yeah, I guess it's, and so I think there's a couple of things that are sort of playing on my mind, and one is that, firstly, that we put it out to comment with the words when it first applies IFRS 9, so I'm a little bit wary of whether there might be consequences we haven't thought about of changing it to being so specific with this wording about at initial recognition, for the sorts of reasons which Bob flagged with his question, because I think it might raise other questions inadvertently. And the second reason was because I was a little bit, I think for some, the combination of the words initial recognition and retained interest might make them more confused than enlightened, if you like. So I just wondered whether the old language was a little bit simpler to read for people who aren't as mired in the technical detail as we are. So there was those sort of two things going on in my head. But the, you know, I always do, I'm always cautious changing words from what we exposed as well, just in case. So maybe now that you've pushed me on it, if we could vote on the agenda decision with the addition in the that Bertrand just suggested to clarify at the end of... somewhere.
Yeah, sorry. I think it's, and Bertrand, just to understand, I think it's in the first sentence under question A, so the bottom of page 7, the sentence that starts paragraph 9 of IAS 27, I think that maybe we'd add something at the end of that there where it says, except when accounting for investments in subsidiaries, associates and joint ventures, to which paragraph 10 of IAS 27 applies.
Okay. So with that suggestion, and can I first of all get the committee... to give a show of hands for the wording as it was exposed in terms of the last paragraph before question B, so to use the words when it first applies IFRS 9 to. Can I get a show of hands on that first, please?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
And Mikhail?
Support.
Thank you. 13 again. All right. Thank you.